everybody. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about part two of, True Killers was the name of this episode. Right. We're here to talk about the second half of True Killers. Last time, Xavier, our favorite dumb boy, got put in an oven. It's unclear fully how all of this transpired or what happened to the other character, but hey, we'll get into it. I'm joined as always by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slowbeef. Hey, what's good?
Hey.
Hello.
Ready to talk about some crap.
I just like, because they show her being stabbed, right? Like, I'm not misremembering that. Like, they show her being stabbed. They show someone being stabbed.
It's not clear.
Yeah.
Because she hits him with the meat hammer, right? Like, a little meat tenderizer. And then I know he punches Xavier to knock him out, but I don't remember exactly what he does with Birdie.
He hits.
They show like a doll being stabbed.
Yeah, they show like one of those CPR dummies basically like getting stabbed. Like that's why I said like, did they forget to like shoot that scene and then they couldn't get the actress back? So they were like, well, if we put her jean jacket on a CPR dummy, like there's no reason why they wouldn't show us that, right. I guess. So I really don't understand the cutaway, because when I say, like, if you're not watching along, there's not really a way to really accurately illustrate. When I say it's a tight shot of, like, maybe 6 inches of a torso. Oh,
it's like they're trying, they're trying to pass off, like, a jean jacket on a pillow as a human being, and they've zoomed in the amount you need to zoom in to pass off a pillow with a jean jacket as a human being.
And, like, by the time we're gonna see her in a second, and, like, she doesn't look like she got stabbed. She looks like she got hit by a car, like, fully, like, hit by a car, or, like, got the shit beat out of her, like, one of the two, not stabbed. It's very strange. Like, I can't even think of a reason why they would have done that, because it's such, like, it's such a short little cutaway, and B, like, it's so poorly done that I'm like, this has to be an oops, we forgot to show what happens to Birdie. So very quickly, also, someone put a jean jacket on a pillow.
Also, just like getting stabbed multiple times, in my professional opinion, isn't really like moving around doing stuff territory for like a lot of time, like long enough for an oven to warm up and someone to like put their jacket over their head to try and protect them from the boiler, and then be like, oh no, and like figure out a way out of it or what, like, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like if I got stabbed like 4 or 5 times, I would either be like, ah, this hurts too much, or I would like, you know, run out of blood, man, in my body.
Do I have bad news for you later in this episode, my friend? Because lots of folks get stabbed and have no trouble at all with things, it turns out. But
true.
You know.
Also, the other thing is, like, because like Slowbeef said, Birdie gets like hit in the head with the meat tenderizer that she hit Mr. Jingles with. And then it cuts to like him stabbing what is allegedly Birdie, based on context clues. It's really weird that he knocked them both out and was like, I'm putting the twink in the oven, but Birdie just gets regular stabbed. Like, she gets a very boring death where I just stab her to death while she's unconscious.
Well, it's like he ran out of ideas, right?
Like, either he didn't want to torture her for, like, some indiscernible reason, or, like, yeah, he's just like, I want to be clear that I'm not doing contrapasso punishments. This isn't a Dante's Inferno thing. I'm not picking them to be, like, appropriate to the person I'm doing them to. I want to be explicit. The chef does not go in the oven. Did you stab her with a chef's knife? That doesn't count. That's beyond the point.
To be fair, it's not a chef's knife. He brought that knife. That's the knife he brought from outside. So that's not the chef's knife.
Oh, yeah, right. Remember? He cut a sandwich with it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's his nasty, gross outside knife that he uses for other stuff. I hate it.
Guys who love to use their outside knives inside. Anyone who hunted loved to do that, I find.
Ooh, I used to know a guy who would pull out a pocket knife and like use it at like restaurants. It was awful. I hated that guy. Yeah, he sucked. He sucked really bad.
I knew a guy like that, and yeah, I concur, doctor. That guy sucked.
It sucked really bad every time. Ew. Yeah, so Xavier's in the oven. I don't remember. Like, I think it just, like, cuts. It, like, cuts, like, as if there was going to be a commercial, because this was airing on TV at the time. It's now streaming.
Yeah, this was a commercial of, he put his jacket over his head to, like, try and protect himself from the broiler and banging on the door and being like, no, realizing there's, like, something in the doorway and then just being like, well, guess I'm fucked.
I am so incredibly built different. A ladle is not keeping me inside a box where the door swings outwards. Putting all of my force behind both of my feet, and I'm kicking that bitch open. A ladle is not keeping me in there.
Oven door, too. It's pretty heavy. Like, everything's working with Xavier here, but, like, yeah, you just can't get out.
Yeah.
And then
I have the toxic masculine trait of I would simply beat Mr. Jingles and would never engage with the oven at all. But if I did, I would easily break out of an oven.
I wouldn't drop my flashlight. You know, I would just wait for him to eat his sandwich and be done. But
Maybe bite his toes.
I'd have a gun.
Ooh,
I'd get the gun. I'd find a gun. I'd be like, Margaret, I also need a gun.
I would just lean into my gay porn career and not be a counselor at Camp Redwood. And, you know.
Yeah, boom. Honestly. Yeah.
Yeah. But regardless, though, Brooke's having her own issue after the break, right? Which is that, like, she wakes up after being knocked out, and then dragged away, but not by Mr. Jingles, but by the fake Nurse Rita. And she wakes up, like, locked in, like, a laundry shed, I guess, you know? But she gets out pretty easy. Like, she knocks out. She does way better than Xavier and knocks the whole fucking door down, like, just off the hinges and everything. Like, she falls with it. It's not, like, you know, brute strength Brooke. But, you know, it's way ahead of Xavier's game here. And then this is crazy. Then she starts running through the forest, and there's, like, an Ewok trap, like, log trap thing that come, like, swings out.
100%. 100% is what it is.
Was fucking Rocket Raccoon out here? What are you talking about? Why is there a log trap set up? What are you fucking on?
It's like a log with a bunch of spikes on, like, two ropes that swing out toward her, and she dodges it. But, like, all right. Right now we think it's Mr. Jingles. Where did he have time to put all this up? Like, this is not, like, a quick little
And where did he get
pit.
Like the materials? Where did he get the materials to assemble all of these things?
And this wasn't, like, a Viet Cong thing. Why? Like, you know, but
do you think they played Resident Evil 4 and they were just like, that shit was sick, we gotta do that?
But, like, even
Legend of the Hidden Temple's ass.
Resident Evil 4, amazingly, I'm saying now, is closer to true life than this is, because there's multiple people to assemble those traps. Here, it's just, like, one guy, and we're going to warn not even him.
The best part, though, is after dodging the fucking log trap with spikes, she falls into the most consistent trap of all, a net.
Yeah.
A net, and it's a fairly large net.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's over for her.
Not like those
she runs into the
single loop rabbit traps, like a fucking, again, like an Ewok net, like the one from Return of the Jedi that they all get trapped in, but it's here. And, like,
how? And like, I'm thinking about it now, because, like, in a second, we're going to find out that these are not even the only traps, because we also had the spike pit, and then, like, we're about to find out there's other traps in other places. How did the Happy Jingles Day teens not just get blown the fuck out on the way up to the cabins?
Well, like, presumably, there's, like, eight other off-screen traps that they've sprung, maybe, that we don't know about?
There are more teens that we never get to see. They just didn't make it.
Right. Like, old Wile E. Coyote shit. Like, what?
Also, this net is, like, regrettably very easily sized to, like, climb out of.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you are not injured in some way, shape, or form, which, like, Brooke's, like, maybe, like, a little fucked up, but not, like, brutally injured, you could climb your way out of this. You could figure out a way out of this. It's not, like, really tight netting. It's not, like, really weird. It's, like, legitimately, like, you would use this for a play place for children to climb around on kind of rope.
And then it turns out it's not Mr. Jingles, because Nurse Rita, the lady who we thought was Nurse Rita, but isn't, comes out and, like, huh, you know what? I predicted all of this. You are a classic victim mentality. You ran to the right thinking strength in numbers, but the road was right to your left. but I put bear traps there anyway, which is like, what the fuck are you talking about?
This is because... some dark anthology game ass shit of like, oh, ho, ho, me the antagonist. Did you know that if you would have picked this option 5 options ago, that you would have fallen through the floor and gotten eaten by a bear?
And we have never established that fake Nurse Rita is like 3 steps ahead or like that kind of person. Like, she's thinking crazy shit. Like, I'm pretty sure porn caused all these serial killings. You know what I mean? And like, but like now it's like, aha, yes, I Sherlock Holmes deduced exactly how you would break out of that laundry shed that I trapped you in into my other 2 traps. Even though I guess the log one might have killed you.
She just kind of like runs into the woods. Like, it would have made more sense if Brooke like went down the main road and there were traps on the main road, which like, again, she said she did do. But it's just like a random direction in the woods. And she's just like, gotcha. I knew I would need to put a log trap that you would dodge and then the net would get you.
Right?
Like, why? But, why'd you put the log up?
But here, the craziest thing then too is like, now that you're exactly where I want you, I'm going to have you as part of an experiment to see if Mr. Jingles will kill you. But it's like, wait, you captured her already. You put her in the laundry shed just for her to escape, dodge a trap, and then get captured again.
I thought it'd be funny.
Can I just say, like, given what we know about Donna, who's fake Rita, like, I guess we could also assume that she's the one who set up, like, the Punji Pit trap in order to be like, oh, yeah, they're going to think Mr. Jingles did this. All of the traps that she has set up, like, well, I'd say, like, most of them, like, the big log with spikes lethal in it. Yeah, they're lethal. So, like...
Yeah.
They're lethal.
How is she going to get her quote-unquote data if she's the one who's, like, destroying camp counselors? Like, she's not going to get any of the data she's here for.
So the control group is people who I killed, and the experiment group is people who Mr. Jingles killed.
And also, science. I guess Richard Ramirez is here, which really kind of fucks up our data.
Oh, yeah, that's just ruined the experiment, actually, I think. But who the hell knows? But, you know, she's 10 steps ahead of me, not Rita, or whatever her name is.
And, like, when did, even if like most of these were Rita, first of all, how did Rita get into the trees to set these up? Because like the log trap, like you have to be up in the tree to like set it up.
I'm like willing to give Jingles like a little bit of like, okay, he's a Jason analog, even though it's some guy. So it's like, all right, we'll assume heightened strength, speed, endurance magically, you know, so maybe these, but like, come on, she's just a psychologist. Like,
who hasn't been here like super long? Like, yeah. she just got here like the day that they did. So like, she hasn't had like a long time to set up. Also, I would like to remind everybody, this is maybe possibly the most important part. She didn't like bring her own car up to the camp. She like kind of pseudo hitchhiked with the real Nurse Rita before like owning Nurse Rita. So like, she doesn't have her own vehicle that she could have brought supplies in. It's she didn't like, she rode with someone else.
Oh, you're right, actually.
So end result of this, we got Brooke and Annette, Rita, Donna, whatever, decides, you know what, I'm just gonna walk away and leave you in a net and see if Mr. Jingles, if he walks up, will just be like, yeah, I guess, and stab you or not. And so that's what she does. She goes into a bush nearby and is like, oh, ho, I hope he walks up and is like, yeah, free kill, that's points, or whatever the fuck, I guess. And oh yeah, as she's leaving, she's like, you'll be remembered as a feminist hero, because if he kills you, then I'll know why he killed you and will never kill women again. Congratulations.
Yeah, feminist win. A woman died to violence. Yay.
Yeah.
Feminism win.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Yippee.
So, back at the oven, Xavier's hooting and hollering, and, Birdie somehow is like crawling over and not really having too much trouble, and like pulls the ladle out of the door, which man, Jingles just kind of fucking sucks at this. Like, yeah. He's no Richard Ramirez, right? Like, who can be? That guy's batting negative 1,000. He's got people that he killed that came back to life. This guy, he sucks at
negative
killing.
Kills.
But, yeah. If a guy revives, do we, like, take a point away?
Yeah, you for sure. Maybe that's why Richard Ramirez was so mad. He's like, oh, no, this is negative points. This is why I hate ghosts. Because now I'm in the negative. My Katie's in the negative.
Satan's really going to be mad at me. He's going to be so sore.
Meanwhile, Satan's just laughing. Satan thinks it's really funny that his cringe fail project is just continuously, like, absolutely beefing it every time.
He's showing the other demons, like, you got to laugh at this point, right, guys? Like,
yeah.
So Birdie lets Xavier out. Xavier stumbles out and is, like, you know, pretty fucked up from being in an oven. Like, he's, like, all burnt up and shit. But Birdie more or less is just like, here, take this knife. I need you to kill me. Which my response was like, you don't seem like you're doing that bad.
Right.
I don't think we need to mercy kill you. I think okay. You're gonna be okay.
Yeah, this part made me so mad because, like, when I say she looks like she got hit by a car, like, her eye is like her, like, blood vessels are, like, burst in her eye, and, like, she definitely has gotten, like, fucked up to some extent, but, like, he didn't, like, cut her legs off. He didn't, like, cut her tongue out or something that would be like, oh, this is miserable, my life is gonna be miserable now. Like, she
didn't,
just,
like,
got
put
stabbed
a bomb in her chest.
Yeah. And, like, so she looks at Xavier like, you have to mercy kill me. And I'm like, why? We could probably just, like, get you to a doctor. Like, what
I'll never be able to make another sandwich again. It's like,
why? Your hands are fine, Birdie. What do you mean?
You have to kill me. You have to kill me. No. Oh, I'm in so much pain. Oh, no,
this finger won't heal right.
Quite literally, it would have made more sense if he had put Birdie in the oven, and then by the time Xavier saved her, she was, like, burnt beyond recognition, and she was like, please right. mercy kill me. That would make sense. Yeah. Like, that would literally make sense. This genuinely, I've never seen a character in any so horror funny. Property be like, please mercy kill me. I've been stabbed, like, twice, and now I need you to stab me more so that
let's
I can just be
respawn
dead about
and
it.
Try again. Today yeah. wasn't good. Like, what the fuck? I
hit my head on the airplane when I was trying to get into my seat. I need you to kill me, Liz. I need, like, you to stab me in the chest with this big ass knife.
The situation she's in is, like, worst case scenario. She's bleeding out and she's gonna be dead in, like, 10 minutes anyway. Best case scenario, we just need to put some pressure on her stab wounds and she's gonna be fine.
No. No, that's lame. We need to do this the worst way possible. We need to kill her and make it, like, worse than just dying normally to bleeding out. We have to make it so much fucking worse.
And traumatize Xavier.
She's doing better than Chet at this point, probably, yeah. right? Like, he's got a thing through him, and he's, like, all hopped up on epinephrine, which is pumping his blood out even faster, I'm sure. You know? But
holy shit. So, he takes the knife and he gives, like, one little, like, no, Birdie, I can't. And then she goes, I implore you to reconsider. And he goes, okay.
Yeah, it's so fast. Like, Ty is barely joking. It's like, he goes, I can't. And then he just does it. And it's not merciful at all. It is the slowest stabbing.
It's so slow.
Something you would do to someone you hate. Like,
yeah, he doesn't, like, rear back and, like, stab her in one quick motion. Also, like, I'm not a doctor, but I feel like if I told somebody to, like, kill me in a fast way and they, like, slowly plunged a knife
into my heart,
into
yeah.
my rib cage, like, centrally located, too, I'd be like, fuck you, man.
Shit.
Son of a bitch. Why would you do it this way? Holy fuck.
How fucking dare you?
Like, they're screaming, to be clear. Like, Birdie the whole time is like, like, not saying, like, why would you do it this way? But, like, also probably thinking, like, holy shit, oh, you're so dumb, fuck.
I should have left you in that oven and just bled out. God damn it.
Oh my god. Like, I'm genuinely, like, when this scene happened and I was watching it, I was sitting here going, like, Did they steal this from something? I can't remember ever seeing, except for maybe like Saw, like seeing a character be like, please mercy kill me after like something happens to them. And I think like even the few times it does happen, like something atrocious has happened to them. Yeah. Like all of their limbs got cut off or something, like, or their eyelids got cut off or some shit. Like
that fucked up half mutant Ripley alien from Alien Resurrection. She's like, kill me. And you're like, yeah, I get it. Yeah, that makes sense. You're not making
Birdie
it out of this.
Okay.
Out.
I think Birdie was just tired. Birdie was like, I don't ever want to work at this camp again. Please.
I can't tell anyone I tried to make Mr. Jingles a sandwich. It's too embarrassing.
I forgot that he doesn't like the crusts. And I said that specifically, I never forget a sandwich order. And this is too embarrassing. So now I have to do the camp chef version of seppuku.
I was gonna say, yeah, lunch lady seppuku.
Yeah.
You're my retainer now, Xavier. Oh God, hurry up!
Xavier's like,
that's
well,
how Chris Farley died. That's
no.
Not funny.
I can't believe American Horror Story did this.
So, Xavier runs out, but he catches a little glimpse of himself in a reflection and is just like, no, my face is all fucked up forever. And it's like, it wouldn't be great, but it's not like he needs skin graft.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be real. It's not like it's like sub burn ward. It's like, ah, that sucks, man. Yeah, you're going to want to cover yourself in aloe vera and like not go outside for a couple weeks. But yeah, like not like you're permanently disfigured. Like you might get a couple scars from that, but nothing like end of the world, right?
Yeah, they don't sell it well, right? Like you're supposed to be like going like that, but yeah, he absolutely does not look that bad, which is odd, you know.
He looks better than like Two-Face from like the Batman movies. Like he's not that. Also, speaking of that, the oven must have like dog shit heat distribution because like only certain parts of Xavier are like burnt up, and like, he was in like an oven, which should in theory burn all of him up.
It looked like Mr. Jingles, like, just turned the broiler on. So, like, just the top heating elements, which is, like, such a bizarre choice to be like, I'm gonna broil him.
I'm boiling this
I'm
twink.
Broil the fuck out of this guy. Yeah, broiling a twink, I'm doing it. No one's stopping me, not today. After that, Montana runs across Brooke in the fucking net trap. And in a confusing choice, Montana decides like she's gonna try and save her and pull the net down and just like doesn't do it, obviously, like doesn't manage to make it happen, and then just leaves. And it's like a really, it's a confusing scene to me. Like, I guess they're trying to show like, oh, Montana's still trying to play the part, but I'm like, yeah, I assumed that.
Right.
I kind of assumed she'd do that.
But it would make more sense if this character that we have apparently learned as of this episode is like a real sicko, like saw Brooke in the net and was like, oh, hell yeah, and then just went to get Richard, like, hey, look who's in this fucking net. Like, it's our job is so easy now. Like,
right.
Like, at that point, you don't even need to have Richard Ramirez kill Brooke.
Yeah, right?
You can just do it. Like, she's in a net.
Well, I mean, it's fortunate for her because she doesn't realize a scientist is conducting an experiment, I guess. But, like, still, yeah.
Extremely air quotes around scientist.
No, my data. You interrupted my data. Fuck.
Brooke, like, warns her about Rita. She's like, oh, Rita's nasty. And I'm like, I think Montana was in the group of people who, like, thought Rita was nasty because they met another lady named Rita. And there's never been two women named Rita. And I think they were already suspicious. So I'm not sure why Montana is like, oh, no, are you for real? Like, because I think she was in the group that, like, knew ahead of time, which is very strange. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's time to get to the really stupid bad part of the episode. I'm sorry to all the listeners in advance. This shit sucks. So we cut to Margaret, who's double checking that she's got that thing on her. She does. She has her gun loaded. It's got bullets. And then she pulls out a little wooden bear. And now we get the stupid fucking backstory. She pulls out her little Inception top, spins it on her desks, and thinks about the origins of Mr. Jingles. So Jingles was a custodian. He's like whittling a little bear to watch over Margaret, who's a counselor there, which is like very bizarre, by the way, because like their age differential is supposed to be like he's like in his like 40s probably at that point.
I don't think she's supposed to be like a kid.
I think she's supposed to be like in her 20s, but he's definitely like at least 45 or 50.
I feel
she reads as 16. I'll be real. Like the way they have her like play into fighting against like another clique or whatever and all that feels very it feels very high school to me. And that does make it weird for I think that makes it weird.
I feel like they wrote it the people who wrote it were like, this isn't creepy, but like it absolutely is when you're watching it. You know, it's like it's not carrying it. She's not. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Like, because even other counselors make fun of her at one point, almost like, you know, kids bullying other kids, like teenager. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. So
and it's like very generic, too. They're just like, oh, look, the weirdo's hanging out with the other weirdo. And that to me is like very middle school, high school, because insults get so much more fucked up in your mid-20s.
Right.
And you know what, too?
Good point that they have. Because they are both weird, Margaret and Mr. Jingles. Mr. Jingles
extremely.
Is sitting there. It's very odd, honestly. You know, I rarely side with the bullies, but on this one, yeah, they got it right. And then he's like whittling, and then he cuts his finger like out, and then she takes his hand and sucks on it, which, for a couple reasons.
Yeah, just in general,
And then she says to him, like, are you my bear, Benji? Because I guess he's carving a bear, you know, and we're whittling a little bear. And he's like, I'd do anything to protect you. And then she, like, picks up a knife. And I'm like, this is so creepy. Like, all not creepy in the horror movie way. Creepy in the, this is awkward way, you know. But
I don't want to watch this. Yeah, I shouldn't be here.
Exactly.
I shouldn't be watching this. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Very perverted.
Yeah, I wish I was watching a different show.
Well, now it's time for Richard Ramirez to, yeah, really just do a little, what would you call it? Don't starve crafting. Makes a little pentagram out of like sticks and berries and shit.
Yeah, this has to have taken some time. This has to have taken like a pretty significant amount of time because it's like a whole thing. Like, I don't even think Michael from like the apocalypse season, when he had to do his pentagram in the woods, like he didn't even put this much effort into it as Richard Ramirez has done. And that guy was the son of Satan. So like perhaps maybe Richard Ramirez should be taking notes. Yeah, he does a whole ass arts and crafts, literally anything other than his one goal. Like, Richard Ramirez will literally do anything aside from the one thing he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Real Witcher 3 behavior. Just like, I'm going to get up to like, I'm sorry, there's these three really fucking cool witches in a swamp. I gotta do their shit first. Yeah, absolutely. And he's like kind of cutting his hands open and starting to do his little like Satan stuff. And Montana runs up and is just like, hey, stupid, I know where Brooke is. Stop cutting your hands up. We gotta go kill Brooke. he loves that and runs over to her in the net. And he says, yeah, you're as slippery as a handful of water, which really bugs me because I don't think of water as a slippery substance. I think of it just purely as a liquid. I don't think it can really be.
Yeah, it's not really even slippery because like if you have a handful of water, some of the water stays on your hand usually. So like it's not that slippery, even if we are like saying that it's slippery. It's not that slippery because some of it still stays on you. I feel like there's other things that are way slipperier. It very much feels like the is water wet conversation. There has to be another metaphor you could have used, Richard. Like,
this is
genuinely
I like using stuff like slippery as a handful of eels. Mm-hmm. That's delightful because it forces you to like really have a bit of mental imagery and you're like, ooh, I would hate that. it's great.
Yeah, I don't know why Richard Ramirez, like, also a weird thing to make Richard Ramirez say, because it's kind of like a Ned Flanders ass thing to say. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
not a guy who has his own like chant that happens every time he's on scene for some reason that goes Satan, Satan, Satan.
Yeah, it's very like Midwestern folksy and not like coastal Satan killer for sure. Then Mr. Jingles shows up and is just like, hey, I heard there was a lady in a net for me to kill. And then Richard Ramirez does the most annoying thing where he's just like, oh, my God, you're Mr. Jingles. I can't believe you're here. Oh, my God. And it's like you have been told no less than 4 fucking times that he is here. You were sent by a lady who you looked at feet that you were here to kill Mr. Jingles explicitly. What the fuck is wrong with you, Richard?
Thinking about it now, he has taken like a lot of head trauma and the last 48 hours between like the ore and the frying pan. Like, it's possible he just has like a wicked concussion.
While this is happening, Brooke is up in her net, which is A, not tight enough, B, really big, and C, suspended from somewhere like impossibly high, because she does there's a sequence in Final Fantasy IX where your characters are in a big cage and you have to swing the big cage back and forth until you like can grab an edge and then, you know, escape out of the cage or whatever. Brooke is doing this and like no one notices. Like, she's like swinging really far back. I guess the idea is like she couldn't start doing it until someone else like gave her a shove. Like, I think like Richard Ramirez is just kind of like, hey, it's shove time, motherfucker. And he just like gently shoves her and she's like, oh, that I have an idea. It's really, Eureka. Really silly. Yeah. So then they do do a fight. It's awful.
So bad.
It's the worst cinematography in this entire show. It's full. We mentioned earlier in like episode 1 and then like partway through episode 2. Holy shit, we need lights on this set. This is like pretty pinnacle. Holy really shit, we need lights on this set. Yeah.
It's really hard to tell what's going on. And this is supposed to be, like, they cut the commercial for this, right? Where they're like, people are going to want to see this. Well, fuck them, though. They can't, you know, it's really.
They can make up what they think happened. That makes all action better, is when you can't see what's going on, so you have to, like, imagine it in your mind. That's how all the best horror goes, is when you can't see it, is when you got to, like, make it up. Yeah.
Well, that's. Very I think cool. They probably took the expression, it's the things that are scariest are what you don't see. But, like, that doesn't apply here. Because this isn't scary, what's happening, right? Like, I don't know what it's supposed to be.
Also, it's not great choreography for what it's worth. Like, when you can see stuff, it's just kind of like Jingles takes a big awkward swing. Richard Ramirez doesn't get hit by it. He does a little jab. The big guy doesn't get hit by it, but there are 7 cuts interspersed through that. So like they couldn't have a single fluid bit of anything in this fight.
It's
just really bad. It's really, really easy to lose track of what's happening. And also I don't care. Which doesn't help their case.
I feel like it's supposed to be like hearkening in a way to like a Freddy versus Jason kind of thing, but that's like campy on purpose because everybody knows what they're doing. You know what I mean? And it's like that whole final battle with Freddy and Jason is actually pretty satisfying because it's like a big 20-minute fight. It's easy to see what's happening in it. You know what I mean? And again, it knows what it wants to be. It's a campy action sequence that's kind of like cool if you're into that sort of thing. This
also, it's referencing a lot of previous material and paying homage to like a lot of stuff because like people like Jason and people like Freddy, so they liked seeing them do their stuff.
Yeah.
And there isn't like stuff for Jingles or fucking Richard Ramirez, real murder man to do.
A, I could give a shit about these people. B, they're both human, so when they're stabbing each other, there's like a no-win situation for either of them, even though whoever lives through it is going to be fucked up pretty bad because they both get stabbed multiple times. See, again, I don't give a shit. I need to give that its own bullet point. I don't care about these characters, even though one is real. And it's like obvious Richard Ramirez is going to win, right? Because he's a real life person who's going to live, you know, who is alive past this, right? Wait a fucking minute. What? Mr. Jiggled wins? How the hell does that work?
What if we did Freddy versus Jason, but instead of Jason Voorhees, it was Ted Bundy? Is this anything? Also, Ted Bundy loses.
And he dies.
Yeah.
And the way he wins is, like, so crazy and so, like, they were trying to do... It's usually Jason and Michael Myers that are, like, the very brutal ones, right? Like, that's kind of their thing is just raw brutality as opposed to, like, some level of, like, cleverness and shit. That's Freddy stuff.
Yeah.
He does that. He, like, lifts him up in the air by his head and just, like, finds a relatively sharp bit of branch from a tree and just... fully impales through the back of his skull and his spine so that it comes out of his mouth. Like, full on, like, through the head, through the spinal cord, about as much as you can kill a person. It's, like, really over the top. And again, just a case of, like, he's just a weird big janitor, which is going to be... Keep that in mind.
This is the second time he's done it today, too. I'd like to remind everybody, like, 20 minutes ago in Universe, he did the same thing to the real Nurse Rita with a boat oar. Like, this is the second time he has impaled someone's head Mortal Kombat style on basically a big spike. Like, keep that in mind for something that will be revealed in a little bit.
They should have called him the Impaler. Yeah. That would be sick. That would be so much cooler. And then, like, he could just have a lot of keys, and that's just, like, a thing about the Impaler as opposed to his whole thing.
As opposed to being named Mr. Jingles, the least scary villain of all time. Yeah.
No, he's Mr. Jingles because he checks notes, has a lot of keys, and takes ears. You know.
Well,
you know, as you do, I guess.
So, Montana sees Ramirez get impaled, and Brooke somehow, gets away, sure. And it's time for the actual part of the episode, the payoff for the earlier flashback. Maybe the dumbest part of the season so far. Which is
so
like,
far.
Damn,
so
team,
far. I regret to inform you. Yeah. So far. Mm-hmm. It gets worse somehow.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I've learned to always up my expectations.
Oh, baby.
When it comes to AHS, baby. So we cut to Margaret, who is praying for help in her cabin in the storm. And Mr. Jingles just shows up at the door. And... this man was stabbed no less than 17 times, like, into his body, out of his body, a bladed weapon entered and exited. He's fine.
The
he's
keys
not
protected
bleeding.
Him.
He's not, like, staggered at all. Yeah, he's fine. He has endurance or whatever. He doesn't give a shit.
He's got,
it's
like, a little chainmail vest made out of keys. That's why he needs all the keys. That's why he jingles so much when he moves.
Oh, that would be so fucking cool. Oh, man. So then it's time to reveal the truth of Margaret telling Jingles what really happened. Why is she doing this now? That's a great question, Mega Man, but we are going to do it. Jingles gets arrested for killing everybody and has his brain shocked and all that stuff. A doctor just, like, tries to force on him that, like, oh, it was the PTSD from Vietnam that made you do it. That's why you did it. Which, like, they just, yeah, he gets railroaded. There is no, like, defense in his favor at all. They're just like, we have decided you're guilty and are going to start electrocuting you.
Also, it's weird because, like, that's the kind of thing, like, usually when this is the situation where they're like, yeah, we believe that you did this because of your PTSD from Vietnam or whatever. Like, that's the kind of thing that, like, a defense attorney would, like, opt for to be like, okay, so that you cannot be executed, we're going to go for an insanity plea. Like, that would be something that, like, your defense attorney would want to push for, not like the people who are prosecuting you. They would want to be like, no, like, we want to prove you were in your right mind when you did this. That way we can get you the maximum amount of punishment. But they have it backwards.
You did this with intent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have it fully backwards. And I think the reason that they do that is because they want to avoid, like, the idea of there being, like, a real trial. Because if there's a real trial, then everything falls apart because they could just find what happened instead of what we think happened. So I think that this was their way of being like, no, there wasn't even a trial. They just decided it was because he had PTSD. And I'm like, that's not how that works. That's not how the judicial system works. That's not how any of this works. Insane. But I guess I know why they did it.
Yeah, so we cut back to the present, and Margaret reveals that Jingles wasn't the killer the whole time. He wouldn't stop the other counselors from bullying Margaret because he was like a weird guy, and they were bullying her harder because she was being really fucking weird with the fucking weird guy, which, like, yeah, sorry, dog. That's how the social system functions. It doesn't seem that bad. Like, I'll be real. I've been bullied harder than this.
Yeah.
You deal with it. Like, it's not, like, great. I wasn't like, yippee. No. But I wasn't like, I gotta murder these people.
This isn't
in
like
cold
Carrie
blood.
Shit. Yeah, this isn't like Stephen King's Carrie, where you're like, okay, she's a little out of pocket, but like, she has a point. Like, she kind of has a point. Like,
yeah, there's like, oh no, for some of those like Stephen King bullying things, you're like, oh wow, I get it. That person's like a fucking piece of shit. Like, I don't feel bad. They're dying. But this is like,
To be clear, like as bad as it is they're just like nice pigtails, weirdo.
Yeah,
and she's like, oh, I'll just suck this weird old man's wound. Which, like, well, okay, you're giving them ammunition.
I mean, yeah, it's what
you have to understand. You're part of this. Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't condone bullying, but, like, Jesus Christ. You know what I mean?
You're that's not
like
helping. One of those, you're not helping your case.
Right. It's like, you did what? Oh, don't do that, though. Like, yeah, it's not good you got bullied, but don't do that.
So, yeah, then she explains, like, oh, I just framed you for killing them. Like, I killed all of those people. I cut their ears off, punched holes in them, and put them on the dog tags. In the coat in your room. Also, I cut my own ear off. So, like, I'm hard as fuck, just in case anyone was wondering. Just wanted to get that on the table. It's pretty cool. And then Mr. Jingles starts going like, no, that's not true. I'm the monster man. I'm the super killer deluxe. Yeah, it's bullshit. And, like, to some degree, like, he is right. He has shown himself to be the super killer 3000. Like, he might not have been, like, before this, but, like, he does make a good point.
Yeah,
like, he makes a good point. She did make him, if this is all true, she did kind of turn him into Turbo Killer 3000. Like, don't forget the part where he teleported to the entrance where someone was going to leave on a motorcycle and in one clean swing decapitated someone with a fire axe. Like, that's not normal. That's not a normal thing normal people can do.
Or the boat oar thing.
A guy so hard it went through a wall. He broke a boat oar. He took a fucking, like, a tenderizing mallet, like a metal one, to the back of the fucking head and was just, like, mildly inconvenienced. He's been stabbed a lot and just didn't give a shit. Like, I think he has a point where he's just like, he's like, no, I am this. And I'd be like, you are that.
Yeah, no.
You might not have been up until now, but you for sure are today. Like, as of today, you for sure-sies are. Like, there's no way. That's my thing is, like, this is why this twist is such dog ass, is because, like, first of all, the whole thing with, like, oh, yeah, he just didn't really have a real trial because they said he was crazy, and then he just, like, got gaslit into believing it. I'm like, You being gaslit into believing you did a bad thing doesn't make you, like, do more bad things later. That's not how it works.
Yeah,
you can, like,
right?
convince someone they did something bad when they weren't in, like, control of their faculties. That does not give them the, like, capacity for doing this much violence if that not something they could already do.
I guess if I was a killer back then, I might as well do it now. What the heck?
Yeah, you guys already think I am. Like, that's the way that they're painting it, is like, well, you think I'm this, so I might as well be. And I'm like, well, if you don't believe, because he even says when he meets with not Rita, with Donna, and she's like, we're gonna prove that high fructose corn syrup did this to you or whatever, he's like, oh yeah, no, I got told that I did this, and I got told that I was crazy and I had a psychotic break, and I got, so like, he's aware that like all of the stuff that he knows to be true is stuff that other people have told him. I don't think that would make a person be like, well, might as well put a Bodor through a lady's head, like, I don't think that's the next step.
Someone coming forward and saying they did a big murder or a big series of murders is not actually enough to get them through the judicial system in the United States. People come forward and claim to do crimes they did not commit
regularly. Yeah. People take credit for serial killers, like, all the time. Like, it happens so regularly that it frequently, like, negatively impacts, like, actual investigations constantly.
Investigations.
Yeah. Because people are like, it's me. I'm the BTK killer. And it's not. It's fully
like a
not.
Big waste of, like, time to, like, look into this person and everything. Yeah, it's like a whole thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I would like to remind everybody, this is also a guy who regularly, apparently every year, dozens of people dress up as him and, like, do a jingles day based on, like, his activity.
That has to be such a high profile case, right? Like, that's the thing, is that that level of notoriety only happens if it's like the fucking OJ Simpson trial, right? Like,
right.
This has to be like a big thing if people care.
And then, like,
well, it
nobody would,
and they did.
Yeah. I'll just say that. No, and nobody would, like, put that together either, that in this high-profile case. Like, there's no serial for Mr. Jingles where it's like, wait a second, like, I don't think this guy could have done all this or anything, you know, but fine.
We didn't have true crime broadcasts back then, so was no, like, white women with, like, millennial-ass takes to decide whether or not he actually did it.
So, yeah, after having this, like, kind of break, he decides to rush at her with a knife to go stab her, to be like, fuck it, we ball, fuck it, we ball, fuck it, we ball, I'm in on this now. No, this is my shit now, fuck you. Which, I guess you could do that. But Margaret remembers that she, as stated earlier, has a gun and doesn't give a shit. And she pulls out her gun and shoots him, like, a couple times, which I would be more okay with that taking him down if he hadn't been stabbed by Richard Ramirez 25 times 6 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Like, he really seems, like, quite durable, but, and, like, she doesn't shoot him in the head or anything. Like, that would definitely be like, okay, yeah, that has to kill somebody. If a projectile or some kind of object goes straight through someone's head, that means they're dead permanently, no questions asked. It'd be ridiculous for them to come back from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I absolutely do know what you mean. And you're right.
Yeah. So he does go down to just, like, a couple bullets from a handgun, and which normally would be reasonable. I want to be clear here. If I got shot 4 or 5 times in the chest with a, like, a 38 caliber handgun, I would go down.
Right. Yeah.
But also, I had not been stabbed 25 times and ignored it in the previous scene, because I also would go down to that. But yeah, she just is like, yeah, you were just a guy, man. Like, you're just a regular fucking guy. You're susceptible to bullets like everyone else. And it's like, well, okay, you can't just be like, now it counts. Like, annoying. Well, I guess now that he knows the truth, he loses the mandate of heaven and is now able to be shot to death. So he gets shot to death.
Right.
We cut to Chet, recently impaled through the shoulder. Chet, who is just better.
Yep.
He's just better now. He's fine. Just like fully better.
Yeah, nap, everything's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, he got the EpiPen. He's fine. It fixed him. His shoulder's fixed now. Just, and he took a little nap. He took like a 10-minute nap. He's fine.
Just like a video game. It's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, they're in an archery range. Either like they were fucking around at the archery range earlier, or like Jingles and Ramirez were just like, oh shit, archery range. Which, like, for what it's worth, me as well. If I come across a random archery range and there's like bows and arrows set up and targets, oh, I'm letting at least three of them fuckers fly. You know it. I'm absolutely picking up a bow and being like, yeehaw. Which I presume has happened. So they hear the gunshots from Montana nearby. They hear the gunshots nearby and Montana runs in. Trevor is again checking on Margaret, which is confusing because didn't he leave her? Why did he come back? I'm because he came earlier and she was like, I'm good, don't fucking bother me.
I got
and now
bang
he's
on
just
me.
Like,
yeah.
I'm gonna go fucking bother her. Yeah, like, actually, fuck that. I don't listen to women.
Yeah,
it's like, all right, man, I guess.
And then, Trevor's arrived and sees that Margaret's killed Jingles. And this is great because, for Margaret, I mean, you know, and she like throws away the gun. She's like, oh, thank goodness you're here. You know, Jingles was here and I had to defend myself. And he got one last murder in and stabs Trevor, which, like, Liz and I both in the notes are like, you just killed your free alibi. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, right? Are you joking? Like, that would have helped you so much to leave him alive.
This is so free.
He bought it. Yeah. Like, hook like, wow, you killed Jingles, who was clearly trying to kill you. I'll tell the cops that, like, and everything. Ugh! Like, what?
Especially because, like, in an earlier scene, like, literally the last time she talked to Trevor, she was like, Trevor, look at me. Listen to me. I need you. Trevor, are you paying attention? If you see me and Jingles in the same place, I'm going to shoot him with this gun. He's going to attack me, and I'm going to shoot him with this gun. And I'm going to win. And, like, Trevor was like, okay. like, he's already, like, ready to accept this reality.
And then he does. He comes into the room and sees that she has done that. And he's like, oh, sick. You did the thing that you said you were going to do. High five, gamer. Good job. And she's like, I think I want to kill you for the love of the game. I just want to stab you. Like, you are just somebody I want to stab. So I'm going to do it.
Just a wild goddamn move, but here the hell we are.
The thing
I guess.
Is, there literally isn't a reason why you could be like, oh, well, he was loosened because of this, or like he would have seen this, or whatever. Like, there is no reason why Margaret should have done this.
There is, but it's for the scene that happens next, which isn't how time works, like, normally, but it is how bad writing works. Because they need Margaret to have looked away from Mr. Jingles and also Trevor to have looked away from Mr. Jingles at the same time, because otherwise, there's no way either of them, like, if he just came in and was like, you shot Mr. Jingles, and she was like, yeah, then they would just have to stand there and look at him and be like, wow, that's crazy. So, like, they need both of them to look away from Mr. Jingles, because after she kills Trevor for no discernible fucking reason, she turns around and Mr. Jingles is just already skedaddled. He's vamoosed. He's up out of here.
Yeah. We get a very brief, like, Trevor crawling for the gun, you know, kind of horror trope thing, you know, of like, oh, if I could just make it. Oh, but you can't, you know. And then, then Mr. Jingles pulls his, like, I'm not a supernatural killer. I just act like it a lot for some reason. Anyway.
You also fell for my bulletproof vest made of keys. It just keeps working.
You all thought it was a stupid nickname. Well, who's laughing now? Not Richard Ramirez. That's
he put all
sure.
his points into defense, and the defense is just the keys. Just nobody bothered to look into it, and that's why they keep losing.
That's the overpowered stat in AHS. Like, oh yeah, defense. They didn't balance the game for that. But
so we do get the funniest exchange of the episode, which is we cut to Xavier running through camp. He hits the bridge, and as he and again, he's like strangely injured. That's not just me, right? Like, he got burned on the top of his head and his back. And he's running like he has had his tendons slashed.
I mean, he got his shit rocked by Mr. Jingles earlier. Like, Mr. Jingles did beat the shit out of him, but, like, he seemed to be fine. It seemed like the oven thing was more pressing. Like, he didn't get his, like, legs broken. Like, he definitely got the shit kicked out of him, but, like, he was fine after that. So something would have had
to
happen.
Which does make this next thing even fucking funnier, by the way, that Jingles did factually beat the hell out of him.
Yes.
Because as Xavier collapses onto the bridge, Jingles also runs up on the bridge at the same time and is also very injured from his, like, 25 stab wounds, five gunshot wounds, etc. They both kind of, like, stagger a little bit and kind of, like, fall over. Like, Xavier has, like, a, no, please, but then notices Jingles is wounded, etc. And then Jingles says, this is, like, the most make-up-your-mind shit possible. Like, remember earlier how he's like, no, I'm, like, into being the Turbo Killer now.
Right.
And I'm, like, good at it. And he has shown himself to be, like, pretty good at it. He then turns to Xavier and goes, it was never me, which you can't say to the guy you locked in an oven.
or the guy who witnessed you put a boat oar through a lady's head. Like, Xavier, you certainly are. Like, it doesn't matter whether you killed those people 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, murdered Birdie as well. Like, also murdered Chef Birdie.
Yep. That put guy.
A he's thing just through the head
of
he's
the guy who was
murdered.
Yeah.
Like, what was that guy's name?
Blake,
like,
I think,
Bert,
right?
Or whatever?
Was it Blake?
Blake, the porno man?
Yeah,
the guy who was, like, peeping hog. He killed the shit out of that guy. And, like, Xavier's acutely aware of that.
He's just gaslighting, like, poor Xavier. He's like, I didn't do any of those things that you saw me to do. Xavier's like, I believe you, question mark.
Well, I think he just passes out because he has no, because again, yeah, and it is that, like, well, wait, what's happening here kind of thing. But, like, so he passes out and then he kind of wakes up and Jingles just isn't there. So Jingles gives him, like, a freebie because he's not a killer anymore, even though he is, but whatever.
I think the funniest part of this scene is that, like, we're kind of underselling how comically small this bridge is. Like, it's the kind of bridge where, like, if you're coming different directions on the bridge, it's going to be really awkward to try and pass each other because it's so narrow. So they end up doing that where they end up, like, in the middle of the bridge and they can't pass each other because it's too big and, like, or it's too small. And, like, they're both kind of just, like, flopping around, like, ooh, ow, ooh, my injuries, ooh. Oh no, my body. And then they're both kind of just talking at each other, where Xavier's like, no, please don't stab me again. And then Mr. Jingles is like, I didn't do any of the crimes you just saw me do. And then they both kind of just, like, black out, and then Mr. Jingles disappears.
Is there anyone worse for Mr. Jingles to say, I didn't do that shit to, than Xavier? Because I really do think, like, Xavier is the literal worst character to be like, I didn't do any of that shit. Like,
that's such an I think you should leave as bit. We're all looking for the guy who did this. Poor Xavier. And Xavier's like, okay. I believe you.
You mean the ladle? The ladle doesn't count. The ladle wasn't violence.
I didn't kill you, or I didn't try to kill you. The oven tried to kill you. I just put you in the oven. Oh,
awesome.
My God.
Awesome. So Brooke shows up and just kind of, like, scoops up Xavier and is like, we gotta get out of here. And then they see an explosion in the distance. Cut to everyone in the parking lot with the car. Or no, this is the car that's up by the showers. This is Blake's old car, right?
Yes.
I think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're up there. The car exploded for some reason. Margaret says she was attacked, but Jingles killed Trevor. I guess. Which, again, why didn't you just, like, leave Trevor alive? Why did we kill Trevor? I'm so upset we killed Trevor. My mans didn't do nothing.
He came to save you
Having
twice.
Having a big dick isn't a crime.
Yeah. Yeah. These are the men's rights everyone is always fighting for. It's to keep men with huge hogs alive.
Oh, God. Yeah. So after that, again, Margaret just lies and everyone's like, okay, because like they have no reason to not believe her.
Right.
There's no reason for her to kill anybody for an alibi because literally every person there is like, yeah, you're the girl who testified against Mr. Jingles. He obviously came here to kill you and you defended yourself. Sure. Like, why would we even think anything else? Like, there's no reason. But yeah, Margaret continues to press on. And then we cut to the final scene of the episode, which is so dumb and it made me so mad. And,
one more twist.
This is the thing.
Great news.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, no, go.
Was just going to say, this is the thing I think everyone who's watched this season remembers the most distinctly about it. Like, other things, like, I don't remember that, but this is the one that everybody, I think, is just like, oh, fuck you.
So there's one thing that I think you can do that, like, really undercuts horror more than most things. And it's removing death. Making death not matter. That's really dangerous to do with horror. Like, you better be playing with some cosmic eldritch shit of some variety, or else you're gonna find you run out of runway real fucking quick if people aren't afraid they're gonna die. Well, we cut to Richard Ramirez impaled through the back of the head on a tree. No, Ty, they're not reviving Richard Ramirez, are they? Bad news, motherfucker. They are absolutely giving Richard Ramirez Gil from Street Fighter Resurrection as a thing he just does. The real life man, Richard Ramirez, has risen from the grave akin to Christ.
Yep.
Cool.
Christ took a couple days, but you know, Satan was there immediately. Honestly, makes you question what side you want to be on. I don't gotta push a rock or nothing. I just pop right back up and I'm like, thanks, my man.
Before this episode, it was such a bad idea to include real life Richard Ramirez on this season of the show. But like, now it's like, this is the stupidest thing you could ever have done. You wrote yourself into a corner by having them fight, crazily having Mr. Jingles win the fight definitively, and then now it's like we need to give fucking real life serial killer magic powers to resurrect himself. It's amazing.
And the thing that I think really is like the kicker for me is, if you're a listener who's been listening to us for like a long time, first of all, thank you so much. I love you. Thank you. Second of all, you'll know that this show loves to fuck up one thing more than anything else. And that's Ghost Rules, baby.
Ugh.
And you might think, how could they have fucked up Ghost Rules this time? There's barely been a ghost. Well, there was one ghost who explicitly got murdered in a confusing tussle with Mr. Jingles, who then was stuck there because he was murdered in a confusing tussle by Mr. Jingles, so he became a ghost permanently. You know, Richard Ramirez has interacted with this exact character and thus would be aware of this as a problem, but apparently that doesn't work if Satan gets to you in time. If Satan pulls you off the tree stump before you have time to, like, decorporealize or whatever. I don't know the process, you know? Yeah, so they've just invalidated their one ghost rule. So, like, if you think there's, like, a beyond death horror element of you get stuck like Jonah as a, as a pathetic ghost for all eternity. No, not if Richard Ramirez doesn't feel like it.
Also, I guess we're supposed to believe that Margaret killed Jonah. Because it wouldn't have been Miss Jingles. So.
Oh, is that the whole thing when he's like, he couldn't remember that he died? Is that why, I guess? So that way he couldn't, like, clock her.
No, I think he got fucking hit by a car, and that's why
he couldn't
remember who did it. Because she's like, because she does say, like, do you remember who killed you? And then he says, like, oh, no, I saw you in there with Mr. Jingles, and I did nothing to save you, and I feel so bad. And I'm like, that doesn't really work timeline-wise, because that means she would have had to run out of that building and then, like, get in a car.
Yeah,
and
wait.
Then run you down.
No, that doesn't work at all, yeah, because she just, like, he wouldn't have seen Mr. Jingles there because
he wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Incredible.
Stupid. Stupid show. Dumb show.
I think the thing that there's a lot of reasons to hate, A, Richard Ramirez being in the show, but B, Richard Ramirez getting revived. I think the thing I hate the most about it is that Richard Ramirez would fucking love that if someone wrote a fan fiction about him where Satan loved him so much that he insta-revived him in a battle against another serial killer. The real Richard Ramirez would think that kicks ass, and I hate that. That sucks. I hate that American Horror Story.
Wow. A new woe, actually. Now you put it like that.
Yeah. It's like serial killers and pedophiles. You just have to make sure they're always having the worst fucking time possible in media. And this isn't like a bad people have to always be like construed as bad in media. I'm not saying you have to spoon feed me shit, but I'm saying if you put like actual real life serial killers or like Jeffrey Epstein in your thing, I want them to suffer. I do desire that, and I think it's ethical for me to want that.
Season 13 is not out yet, so let's not give them ideas or anything for like, I can't believe you resurrected Jeffrey Epstein. You fuckers.
No.
Oh my god.
Don't give them ideas.
No. I want that. I dare you, writers of American Horror Story, bring in Jeffrey Epstein's ghost as a character.
Please.
I fucking double dog fucking dare you.
Oh,
please.
Oh, they brought in Bernie Madoff for no reason. You think they're not above doing. Oh, that island is going to be where it takes place or some shit. Like, Delia's going to come up and, like, kill his spirit or something, and then, you know, it's going to be bullshit. We got to get to that season.
Yeah. All right. Well, and that's it for this episode. So thank you so much for listening. we'll catch you next time for, I'm not reading that title correctly, am I? You're fucking with me?
No, that's what it's called.
It's called Red Dawn.
Red Dawn? Like the Schwarzenegger movie?
Yeah.
Incredible.
It was the 80s.
Schwarzenegger movie?
Yeah, like the 80s.
Oh, that's cool. Well, anyway, we'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening. I'll catch you all later.
Right.
Have a great night. Bye.